Hey, want to feel young again? Are you tired, run down, have aches and pains, brain fog? This is science-based, not hype or fancy marketing. It really works. Carbon 60 helps detoxify your body on the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. It's like a bottle of electrons, helping your body to function better. You can also apply it on your skin, topically, over muscles, joints, or organs. Most people feel results within minutes. This is not a drug. It's organic carbon. Feel better today. About 95% of our users report more energy and clarity of mind within 10 days. Give us a call at Gresca's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
Welcome back. Hour number two. I'm going to talk to Professor Dr. Eric Carlstrom, Emeritus. Is that how you say it? Emeritus? Do you put that at the end or is it somewhere else?
Well, it's normally Emeritus Professor, but you know, most people don't understand what that means, Jeff. But what that means is a retired professor who is recognized as having, you know, contributed a lot of research.
Yes, it's an accolade. Oh yeah,
it's a little bit of an honor. So, mostly it's in the academic culture that people would care what the difference is between assistant, associate, and full professor and emeritus professors. But the emeritus ones are the ones who went through the whole system and then retired, and they're still functioning, and they're still trying to, contribute to the world. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, you are. You've made extraordinary contributions. And change lives and improve lives and enhance lives. And that's what teaching and the teaching and learning process is supposed to be. So you've done it in spades. And a lot of people walking around now today, they're much the better off for having had you as an inspirational teacher. So good job.
Well, thank you so much. And, of course, your work is also very oriented towards educating the public. So we're really on the same team here. And we do see the world pretty much the same way. We normally do our show second and fourth Thursday of the month. And I wrote you yesterday, I think, and said, hey, there's so much happening. I'll be glad to fill in whenever. And
Be
careful what you ask for, yes. And I gave you a couple topics and you said, well, weather warfare and Hurricane Ian certainly sounds appropriate. And do you think?
Yeah.
Should we jump into that? It's not a happy topic. I'm not thrilled with this topic, but I think people need to understand what's happening. I did teach physical geography for 30 years at three universities, including climatology and geomorphology and earth science and, quaternary environments and things like that, climate change, paleoclimate. And towards the end of my career, I really got onto this subject of the chemtrails, of course, of noticing those in the skies, noticing the geoengineering, noticing the weather warfare. And although professors are, kind of supposed to stay in a narrow slot ideologically, I had full professor status. I was tenured. And so what the heck, this seemed to me to be an extremely important subject to investigate.
Yeah, it is. It's quite real. Nothing fictional about it.
It's something Dane Wigington with his Geoengineering Watch has been on this subject for a long time. Others have come and gone. This is a kind of a dangerous topic to pursue because you're up against a very, very, very powerful structure. And the weather, like so many other things, has been thoroughly weaponized over the past 100 years. And most people don't know about that. So if you try to bring this up and mention that, well, these Frankenstorms, these huge hurricanes like Hurricane Ian, Harvey, Irma, Sandy, Aaron, Katrina, etc., just may be man-made or man-steered, humans juice them up, can actually create them, and that this technology goes back certainly almost to World War II when the British and the American military started doing all kinds of projects, mostly top secret, of course, in which they were trying to modify the weather. In fact, the Weather Modification Organization started in 1950, and they were, of course, cloud seeding, as you well know. I have to say, just parenthetically, I remember driving through Ashland, Jeff, your hometown there, and I guess it was around 2008 or 9, and I was really onto this subject, and I noticed there were little leaflets and little signs here and there about meetings about this subject. So the people in your neck of the woods have been onto this for a long time. We haven't made as much progress, of course, as we would like, because we're up against the power structure. But these Frankenstorms, Hurricane Ian, over $67 billion damage. It could be political retaliation. Obviously, this was timely right before the midterm elections, and DeSantis is probably the number one candidate front runner for president in the Republican side. So this is the kind of thing that is used by these geoengineers, these weather warriors of the New World Order, to discipline countries and states that they want to punish. And as you well know, Fukushima and all these events around the world, which are environmental modification, weather warfare, geoengineering, geoterrorism. The technology has been there for a long time, and it is being used. Weather has been weaponized by the Air Force and many, many private corporations. For those who want the details on this, we can never get all this in, but I'd like to just mention a couple things. If people go to my naturalclimatechange.com website and they just click on naturalclimatechange.com, they'll go to the home page, and on the home page, it gives you three options right off the bat. Open letter to policymakers, colleagues, students, and citizens. Disproofs of the hypothesis of AGW, anthropogenic global warming. That's an open letter PDF. We talked about that last time. The next one we haven't talked about yet, but we hopefully will have time to. Green global dictatorship, regional governance, UN Agenda 21, sustainable development, and the Wildlands Project. Of course, the global warming fraud feeds right into all of these things, which are coming down on our heads very quickly. And then number three is man-made climate change in the skies, or playing God with the atmosphere and the earth. And this is, again, number three on the homepage of my naturalclimatechange.com website. It's a PowerPoint I put together in 2011 when I was still a professor at Cal State University, Stanislaus. And I was invited by Rosalind Peterson of California Skywatch, who's just
I used to have Rosalind on the program. You're going back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rosalind was a great lady. She was just the kind of person who wanted to, save civilization from the horrors of these spraying programs, which are, as you know, doing so much damage to the biosphere and changing our weather, and all of it, of course, is based on this lie of man-caused global warming. But anyway, if people go to that, I put that together for this panel discussion at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco that Rosalind Peterson invited me to, and that's a rather prestigious place where lots of bigwigs have gone. And that was our topic, man-made climate change in the skies. There were six or seven of us, so I didn't get to present my PowerPoint. But I wanted to do that, just further investigating the history of of geoengineering, weather warfare. So people can click on that and go to the PowerPoint, and there's a, you know, coast through that, and you can get a heck of a lot of information in 15, 20 minutes. A very useful information about the history of this, about the patents, about the laws, about the lots of quotes from powerful people like Lyndon Johnson, who said in 1962, "He who controls the weather will control the world." And these, you know, our leaders really have a kind of a maniacal streak to them, power-hungry madmen, if you ask me. And this, to me, is a horrific, a very depressing subject, because the idea that humans would do this to weaponize the world's environment, which, of course, God made and is beautiful and it gives us everything we need. But, you know, their world is war, their world is destruction, and we pay them a lot of money and they're very good at it. And Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, some of these major corporations, they can do these things. And, you know, so the U.S. government can just farm this out, and have, I think, with some of these big hurricanes like Harvey and Ian, et cetera. So the other post I would suggest is on my gangstalking mindcontrolcults.com website. And after the Hurricane Harvey event, I had to drop what I was doing and just, you know, investigate that, because it was so obvious. You know, this was $120 billion, $125 billion in damage in the state of Texas, over 100 dead, damaged 204,000 homes. The strange, it dropped 50 inches of rain, more than 50 inches rain in the Houston area. Massive chemical spraying happened just before the storm, as in Ian and these others.
Huh. Yeah.
And 204,000 homes were damaged and destroyed. And I mean, these are like atom bombs that are going off, you know, mm-hmm. these Frankenstorms. And Harvey was just so obvious that it was not natural, because, again, I taught climatology. I know how hurricanes work. And Harvey actually made landfall three times. And, of course, normally when a hurricane gets its energy from the heat of the ocean, and the warm water is evaporated from water to vapor, and that takes energy, about 590 calories per gram. And then when the air cools, as the air rises, it cools, and then the water vapor condenses, and that same energy, again, first law of thermodynamics, energy is neither created nor destroyed. That energy that was stored in the water vapor is released as latent heat, now becomes sensible heat in the atmosphere, 590 calories, which is a unit of heat per gram. And so, you know, I mean, these storms are huge, sometimes 200-400 miles across, and a tremendous amount of water vapor is condensing. Water air is being pumped high into the atmosphere, as you know. And then this is what fuels the hurricane, this energy. And one day hurricane can give as much energy, say, as the United States would use in 6 months. These things pack a tremendous wallop. But normally, yeah. when the hurricane goes on land, this is for your listeners, it's cut off from its energy source. It's no longer over the warm water that, of course, you know, evaporates and then condenses. So now the hurricane dissipates, and you're left with a very, very wet, warm mass of air and lots of rain and wind. But the winds die down and it dissipates, and then it gets caught up in the mid-latitude storm track and goes off to the northeast. Well, so, you know, almost always, just about always, and when a hurricane makes landfall, then it dissipates and goes to a tropical storm status, less than 75 miles per hour. But in this case, Hurricane Harvey, it bounced back out to sea, where, of course, it picked up more latent heat of condensation and got juiced up again three times. And then it just parked over the area just south of Houston, and, of course, dropped copious amounts of rain. Well, this became obvious. I think that's as obvious to anybody who knows anything about hurricanes, that this is not normal hurricane behavior. So I had to look into this, and there was actually quite a bit of good work that was being done by a number of you know, conscientious citizens, like Weather Wars 101 was real good. Dutch Sense was good, and others. And I've loaded this post up with information and videos. And that post is on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. It's called Hurricane Harvey Was Weather Warfare State-Sponsored Terrorism Directed Against the American People by the U.S. Government, July 22nd, 2017. And about half of the videos that I put on, there must be about 15 or 16 videos, half of them scrubbed, but the other half are there, and the information is there. And between the this post, if they, people can find it, this would be under War of Terror, I think, would be the subtitle. And okay. Go to Hurricane Harvey under War of Terror instead of War on Terror, War of Terror, or probably the controllers, and perhaps audio and videos might be under two or three categories. But all of the same techniques have been used to manipulate these Frankenstorms, such as Ian. And again, Texas was a red state. It was unpopular in 2017 with the administration, had to be punished. So the political element of this is quite striking and very depressing.
Got it. Well said. No, you're on a roll here. You're laying it right out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So again, if people want to get the general, they can go to my PowerPoint and get the history of this and see that the UK and the US governments have been doing this strenuously since World War II. And now all of the major nations, Russia and China, et cetera, China had something like, 30,000 climate or weather engineers working at mm-hmm. the Beijing Olympics to make sure that the weather was nice. So this has now moved into the private sector, which is why I said Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and whatnot are probably actually doing this. And this is what Dane says in his short video on Hurricane Ian. He says that the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, and the National Weather Service are both under gag orders to stay on the talking points given to them by these two corporations, Raytheon and sure. Lockheed Martin. And so what we have is a system, a government which is supposed to serve the people, but it is in fact privately held. It's held in the hands of private investors who have a different agenda than the well-being of the American people. And these things are like, plausibly deniable warfare weapons. And again, the ones I've named, the Harvey, Irma, Sandy, Aaron occurred on the day of 9/11, 90 miles off the coast of Manhattan there. And Dr. Judy Wood thinks that they were able to harness some of that energy for the directed energy attacks on the yes. Twin Towers, which is a very interesting theory. Our scientists have tremendous capabilities that are not being used for the common good. So those are the two sources I would recommend. I'll stop talking, Jeff, if you want to jump in here. I mean, this is a horrible thing to experience, to have. I hesitate even to I was talking to a friend in Florida, and I just couldn't mm-hmm. bring myself to say that this may have been, man caused.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will let me say this. Dane's a very good friend of mine, has been for years. And he called me 3 days. It might have been four, but I'm going to go with three before Ian made landfall in western Florida and told me exactly what was going to happen, where it was yeah. going to go, how it was going to be steered. And we both understand geoengineering. He far more than I ever will. But he told me, he's just going to end up in the Atlantic. It'll go up the Atlantic a little ways. We're monitoring the frequencies. We know what they're doing. And it went exactly according to what he told me. Exactly.
Yeah, we're living in a scripted reality, as we've discovered,
well
with the
said.
Mind control.
Yeah.
And indeed, some of these same technologies like HAARP can be used not only for steering hurricanes and creating weather, but also for mind control, because you're dealing with manipulation of extremely low frequencies, radar, etc. And these frequencies can affect the human mind and the emotions. And Jerry yeah. Smith, who I did have a chance to interview once or twice, nice guy, wrote a book about HARP, and unfortunately, this is a dangerous subject to tackle seriously, and he's no longer with us. I think it was his discovering the connection between the HARP facility in Alaska, the ionosphere heater up there, and mind control, which may have gotten him in trouble. But let me just go through, I'll just go through some of the
conclusions. Right ahead. Oh, good.
Yeah, some of the conclusions here. Again, Project Cirrus, 1947, and Storm Fury, 1962 to 1983, were military corporate experiments to modify and manipulate hurricanes via cloud seeding. And they determined at that time that hurricane intensity could be decreased or increased by about 30%, and with these frequencies we can steer them. And what are the methods we use to steer them? Well, here there's a whole number of ways that this can be done. Again, I explained how hurricanes are fueled with the latent heat of condensation. Well, we can pump enormous amounts of water vapor into the atmosphere in a number of ways, and we can pump electromagnetic frequencies into the atmosphere, and then we can pump these aluminum oxides, barium oxide, strontium, titanium, all the ingredients of the chemtrails. So right. Think of those things operating together: electromagnetic frequencies, an ionized plasma in the atmosphere due to dumping all these chemicals, and we see enormous amounts of chemtrail spraying over these areas just prior to the hurricanes, which are easy to spot on photographs from space, etc. So to create artificial hurricanes or to augment natural hurricanes, weather controllers simply mimic these natural processes, and they can use rapid water vapor generators such as the wet surface air coolers. They can add water vapor to the atmosphere and then cool it. They can do the aerial spraying with the chemtrails, adding condensation nuclei or tiny particles like the silver iodide would be one, sulfates would be another, and these aluminum, barium oxide metals would be others. These then form the tiny little nuclei or little microscopic particle around which the water vapor condenses to form a water droplet. And so these are added to the atmosphere with the chemtrail spraying or the aerial spraying. And so we have the addition of water vapor, we have the cooling of the air temperatures, we have the addition of condensation nuclei with the spraying to create the ideal conditions for the condensation of water vapor and cloud formation. And so they are able to take, kind of an unorganized storm and juice it up this way so that it has a lot more energy and that it turns into a hurricane.
Oh, yeah. Plus, we've got to remember also that the Atlantic Ocean and that area, I don't know how far up we can go in terms of hundreds and hundreds of miles, but the water's warmer. It's not as cold as it used to be.
Well, yeah, it varies.
Even if it goes up a degree, that's supposed to make a difference in the amount of moisture and so forth. Yeah, go ahead.
All of the different tenets of the global warming hypothesis or myth, I think, would take us, 10 shows to go through.
Don't want to go there.
The oceans are getting more acidic and all this stuff. I mean, the polar bears and blah 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 blah. But here's how they do it. They have these technological means of juicing these things up. One we mentioned, HARP, High Active Frequency Auroral Research Project in Gokom, Alaska, can emit a billion watts of extremely low frequency radio waves and other frequencies. Can be directed to all points of the Earth via reflection from artificial ionospheric mirrors, which the Air Force has created up there, thank you, Air Force, to make a nice smooth surface in this ionosphere where there's lots of these charged particles, electrically charged ions, and they can then, and this is, of course, how radio waves work, always have. You bounce up these radio waves up to the ionosphere about, 50, 100 miles up, and then you can bounce it back down to other areas. So the Air Force actually wrote a paper in 1996 weather as a force multiplier, owning the weather in 2025, which you can get on PDF online, and it's on my websites as well, in which they lay out what they're going to do in terms of owning the weather, because they want to use it as a weapon. Now, to me, this is, you know, this is like satanic, you know. I mean, here we have this beautiful planet and this marvelous system.
Eric,
and
let me ask you if you can just pause here. I've got to take a break, but they've weaponized everything that they can conceive of that might be useful in their drive to total dominance. It doesn't matter what it is. They've weaponized everything. And certainly the weather was targeted right after World War II. That's when they earnestly went after controlling the weather. And I used to have Robert Fletcher on, Bob Fletcher. I don't know if you know the name, but he was one of the first people to really break the story open and try to communicate on the Internet about it. This is 20 years ago. But he was very knowledgeable about it. Not with your background, but he was smart. Hold on. We'll be right back with Emeritus Professor Dr. Eric Carlstrom in just a minute. Okay, welcome back. Eric Carlstrom, about some very difficult things for many people to understand and really wrap their minds around, that the weather can be controlled. Oh, it's controlled, and make no mistake about it. I think in controlling it, though, Eric, they have caused it to become even more erratic than the control mechanisms that have dictated. I just think that the planet has its own energy still. It's not completely spayed and neutered, not yet.
I agree with that. I don't think that it's possible. This is an enormously complex system, the atmosphere. And, of course, the study of chaos comes out of meteorology. In 1950-some, there was a meteorologist who was doing all these computer printouts of, you know, what would happen, and, you know, in terms of the movement of these, you know, cold fronts and warm fronts, if he tweaked this and that variable. And he found if he just tweaked one variable a tiny bit, you know, 2 weeks later, that could cause dramatic nonlinear changes. And that gives you the idea that, you know, if a butterfly flaps its wing in Kansas, it could generate a hurricane off of the Atlantic, you know. So, you know, chaos, that means they can't predict the weather further out than 7 to 10 days. It's not possible. So the idea that you can predict the climate in 100 years is even more preposterous. So, but that's another subject. But yeah, going back to our little description of how this is done, I think this might help. After all, it's your tax dollars, our tax dollars, that have created this system. So HARP, High Active Frequency Auroral Research Project, can direct 1 billion watts of energy up to the ionosphere, bounce it down anywhere, create earthquakes, and also steer storms, block jet streams and vapor rivers, thus creating enormous amounts of rain and drought, floods and droughts. They can generate gravity waves, which you sometimes see in the clouds now, and they can create blocking high-pressure zones that steer and stall hurricanes. And there was a girl, a lady, a meteorologist, who was, I've got this little video clip on this article on the Hurricane Harvey, and she's right there being interviewed saying, well, yeah, we created a blocking high. You know, what that means, a high-pressure zone, the air is a little heavier. It wants to sink. It's cooler. Cooler, heavier descending air gives you a high-pressure zone, and that's going to have more mass and therefore be able to block the movement of the low-pressure, lighter air, which is what you have with the hurricane cyclonic system. And so, you know, there she is admitting it right there in the – so, yeah, all of these things can be done by HARP. HARP is one of 20-some ionospheric heaters on the planet. They have some in Puerto Rico and all over the planet. But then we also have about 160 next-generation Doppler radar stations, or NEXRAD towers, which also use radio frequencies to steer storm systems and produce the same kinds of effects as HARP, but much more efficiently. So if you look at a map of the United States, you'll see these 160 NEXRAD stations, which are also using Doppler radar. And they can be used to track tornadoes and hurricanes, but they can also be used to steer them. And this gets into the incredible, powerful, destructive tornadoes as well, when you talk about the one that hit Joplin, Missouri in 2011, and the one that hit Kentucky and all those states in December of last year. I actually visited, well, I'm not going to get into that now. Let me go through the system here. Okay, how do they do this? Well, they use the NEXRAD and the HARP to get the radio frequencies, the extremely low frequencies. And these microwave transmitters can also come from satellites, and that can be used to superheat areas of a storm and create massive amounts of water vapor. There are also about 62,500 wet surface air coolers and ground-based water vapor producing energy plants, which some are fueled by nuclear fusion and fission, that can rapidly heat liquid water to water vapor over land. So these can be over water, over land. And these water vapor producers then jet this water vapor towards the sky, creating a cloud which blocks the sunlight, creates precipitation, and reduces surface temperature. There's patents, of course, on this. So you have land water vapors and ground-based wet surface air coolers were both used to augment Hurricane Harvey and also to create the Joplin F5 tornado of May 22nd, 2011. Additionally, this is coming from the guy who did Weather Wars 101, who unfortunately is no longer with us. I don't know he's offline anyway. Some 7,000 electrical power plants over the continental U.S. had millions of gallons of water vapor.
How many plants? How many power plants?
7,000.
Mm-hmm.
According to this source. And this, you would say, adds millions of gallons of water vapor to the atmosphere. And these plants each come with large cooling towers, which are equivalent to the WSAC, wet surface air coolers, which cool the water vapor some 10 to 20 degrees Fahrenheit below ambient temperatures and then, create clouds. Each of these produces thousands of gallons of water vapor per minute, which then condense. The system that creates the water vapor is called direct steam condensing for power generation using closed loop evaporative WSAC technology. And this system has been in operation widely since 1971, when the first early modern coal-fired electrical power plants were built. And then there's the water vapor generators, SBX1 sea-based X platforms that are doing out on the ocean. Water surface air coolers in the Gulf of Mexico were used to augment, intensify Hurricane Harvey. And these huge units can be towed across the ocean to where they are needed to create artificial clouds. And then also Bill Gates' Silver Lining Project. Bill Gates is going to save the planet by creating all these water vapor generating machines.
Yeah, he's going to save the planet, all right.
Mm-hmm. You save the planet because of all the global warming that we're not having. But yeah, that's solar radiation management is one of the lunatic solutions to this non-problem of man-caused global warming. But anyway, Bill Gates' project has these water vapor generating machines on ships that spray seawater into the skies, into the atmosphere, in order to provide more water vapor and, again, condensation nuclei around which the vapor condenses. Again, to make more clouds and to create more energy in the sky, fuel for the hurricane. So gotcha. This process enlarges and whitens artificial clouds and thus increases the reflectivity or the albedo of the atmosphere, which means that incoming solar radiation doesn't get through to the Earth's surface and warm the planet. It's bounced back because of these white clouds. So it's more like creating a layer of like snow high in the atmosphere so that the solar radiation doesn't come in.
Here's a quick aside. Do you remember a couple of years ago when it was snowing and the snow was artificial and it wouldn't melt? It would burn. It would turn to charcoal, but it wouldn't melt when it was put to a flame. You remember seeing that?
I remember reading about that. Where was that, Jeff? I don't remember.
Oh, hell, I think it was in several places. I think Texas, maybe North Texas was one. Yeah. It was somewhere in the Midwest. And, the snow, people would go pick it up, and they'd pack it into a snowball and put a cigarette lighter under it, and it would just turn black. It wouldn't melt. Artificially, chemically nucleated snow. And it was not real at all. So, but it came down. It was cold.
Well, these you know, military climate engineer types want to experiment, you know, with everything to effectively battlefield, etc. But, you know, some of the big names are Dr. David Keith at the University of Calgary, who's all into this mitigating global warming with solar radiation management, etc. And, of course, he has a healthy consulting business on the side, makes a lot of money from corporations like working with Bill Gates. And likewise, Ken Caldera. There's a whole series of these people who I don't have a whole high regard for because they're playing with everybody's present and future. Playing God with the planet and with the human species and all the others. Bill Gates is in this category of wanting to save the planet by blocking the sun. And, of course, sun is our solar, it's our energy source.
You know, you're a professional. That's not going to save the planet. The only thing that'll save the planet is for people to stop screwing around with the weather.
That's
first
right.
of all. I mean, come
yeah,
on.
We don't need to mitigate the weather. You know, I mean, the only thing more arrogant than saying that we cause global warming is to say we can fix it. I mean, this is a vast and complex...
Oh, it's disgusting. Disgusting. All of
it. Yeah, there's a certain mindset, unfortunately, that filters its way up through the academic world.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to our technologies here. So again, going back to the massive chemtrail, aerial spraying, such as Project Cloverleaf, which has been in operation around the world since 1994, but it is used, you know, a combination of different aircraft, including military and private. But there's a tremendous amount of chemtrail spraying over Hurricane Irma was seen about that same time, as well as all these HAARP waves, these kind of undulating waves. Also, this is comprised of barium and aluminum oxides, which they inject into the atmosphere. And these, again, are tiny little particles which are ionized. So, again, the concept is if we have ionized metals in the atmosphere and then we zap them, it's spraying and zapping. So we spray with the ionized metals and then we zap with the electromagnetic frequencies, and we can control the atmospheric motion in that way. And I have to say, I think I see a similar kind of process going on with the graphene oxide, which I think is accumulating in the body. It self-assembles, I believe. At least there's a good reason to believe that with some of the scientific work that's been done. But would it be the same two principles? You put in the chemicals in the human body, and then you zap it with the electromagnetic frequencies. Now you can control you can take an organic God-made system, and you can turn it into a man-controlled system. I see quite a parallel here with controlling the weather and controlling the human body by the same, you know, maniacs. So... okay.
Yeah, they are maniacs, but they're worse than maniacs. Let's be serious. These people, I don't honestly consider them human by my measurement of human, Homo sapien, the so-called sentient species on the planet, the caretaker species. We are in the hands of abject Luciferian evil, and the people you've named, some of them, are absolutely not human. In that regard, there's something wrong with them. I don't think that they're fully the same genetically as we are. There's something really amiss here. I don't know what it is, but come on.
Yeah.
When you plan and contemplate and create and deploy mass genocide, what the hell kind of behavior is that for an alleged human being? And that's what's being done. Go ahead.
Yeah, we totally agree on this, and I would enjoy doing a show where we speculate a little bit about this because I've looked at this. But going back, so we got the aerial spraying now of the aluminum and barium oxides, etc. And now these clouds can be steered by the ground-based Doppler, NixRed, HAARP, and Ocean SBX platforms. We see this, of course, in the satellite photos. So we saw massive clouds. And spraying over the targeted area prior to Hurricane Harvey, prior to Hurricane Ian, and all these other Frankenstorms. So, you know, this is kind of like right out in your face. High altitude jets equipped with directed energy weapons can also be used to manipulate these hurricanes, and are. So, you know, they're coming at it. It's a gigantic natural beast phenomenon, and they've got many, many ways for all the Lilliputians to push it and move it and stall it juice it up and knock it down. And this is, of course, again, our military has these technologies and is deploying them, or is allowing the private sector to deploy them and control our actual military. So also, I should mention forest fires, which were unusually widespread, say, before and during Harvey, also are useful. They have the effect of putting lots and lots of these particulates. They're called aerosols, smoke, soot, dust particles, which make the condensation nuclei around which the water vapor can condense. So this was also going on there. I don't know about Ian. This is going to be coming out hopefully soon. Other forms of directed energy, such as space-based, air-based lasers, can also manipulate the weather by zapping aerosol nanoparticles in the atmosphere. Land-based lasers now, you know, geez, think with, you know, these amazing technologies, we could do something creative instead of destructive. But anyway, land-based lasers now up to 500 trillion watts can be used to create energy from nuclear fusion now.
500 trillion.
This is the information I got from this one source. I haven't checked.
As opposed to HARPS, let's remind people, HARPS, billion, what was it?
Yeah, but see, HARP is over a broad area. This is a laser now, highly focused. Yeah. This would be, you know, pinpoint accuracy. Yeah, and then energy from space-based power systems also can be directed at hurricanes, changing the temperature of segments of the system, such as the eye of the hurricane, and can change airflow patterns or the path of the storm. Solar power with our satellites can be converted to radio frequency tracking beams. Now, see, a lot of these technologies are also used in the mind control operations and the gang stalking and the directed energy weapons. So there really is an overlap technologically between how you control nature in the context of storms and how you control nature in the context of humans. A lot of the same technologies will serve for both. So the solar power then in the satellites can create these radio frequency tracking beams that can be used to amplify and steer the hurricanes. Radio frequency energy converts absorbed energy, or that'd be the latent energy, to thermal energy. The energy absorbing elements are, again, aluminum oxide and plastic in this case. And that's weather management using space-based power system invention, application number 12723618, March 12, 2010, Solar Incorporation. So there's hundreds of these patents. And then lastly, we're down to the last one, number 13 of these items, chaff. This goes back to World War II.
World War II, sure.
Yeah, when the British put up chaff to block the radar of the Germans, and they were able to go ahead and bomb the German cities with impunity because the radar couldn't see them. So military planes will spray chaff, which is plastic-coated aluminum particles, cut to about one quarter the wavelength of the radar into the atmosphere, and then that blocks and confuses the radar equipment. And again, this is used by the British Royal Air Force prior to their saturation bombing of Germany during World War II. So, you know, the technology is there and the evidence is all there. And we have to come to grips as a nation. We have to mobilize. And I know doing the kind of work that Dane does, I mean, enormously frustrating. You know, it's almost like being, you know, bombarded with cortisol from stress and, you know, fight and flight every day. How horrible these technologies are, and they're being used, and yet the vast majority of people are unaware and don't seem to want to wake up and do anything about it. But again, we have to keep trying, and we never throw in the towel. They had the California Sky Watch. I don't know if it's still going. They had New York Sky Watch. There was a time around 2010, 2011, when there were many local organizations, you know, lobbying against these these technologies with limited effect. But we just have to keep trying, Jeff, to educate and to get.
We will. Sure. To get, of course,
yeah,
we
just
will.
Just pushing against the machine to expose it. This is our tax dollars being used to destroy us. And you could also make the case, and I think many would, that this is also disaster capitalism, the shock doctrine, such as we saw at Hurricane Katrina. It's like.
Remember, there's another one we should mention, which rumor had Hurricane Andrew killed 300,000 or 400,000 people that was all covered up. Now, I say that because I used to have a guest. She's passed now, but she lived there, lived through it, and was blinded during the storm, or nearly so. Daughter of a very famous Hollywood motion picture director, and she used to be on the program, frequently, and she told the whole story about Andrew and how it was all covered up. Andrew was maybe the most devastating hurricane ever, and no one knows anything about it. If you go back and do some research, you'll get an idea. But what she said on this program was astounding, that this storm just annihilated huge swaths of people and homes, killed them. So anyway.
Yeah, I was on a geography field trip back in that area some years ago and looked at the damage from the tornadoes that were produced, because each of these hurricanes spawned many, many tornadoes, as has recently occurred in Florida with Hurricane Ian. It doesn't have to be, it can be anywhere in the proximity that you're going to get this enormous atmospheric turbulence and often the creation of these hurricanes or these tornadoes, tremendously destructive. And I don't know their batting average on controlling those tornadoes. Probably it's not bad because they have weaponized the atmosphere. And all in favor, raise their hand. I think, if we were to take a vote in this country, we would vote it down. I'd love to see a politician who would put this
we'd
on
vote
there.
A hell of a lot of things down if we had a vote. We really would. You bet. Thank you. That was excellent and very well stated, perfectly stated. You bet. We'll make sure that it gets posted and everyone gets a chance to see it. So we will talk soon. Thank you for the offer to make an extra appearance. It was perfect. Perfect timing.
Yeah. Well, there's so many important things happening right now. It's we have to try to keep on top of it. And I really appreciate you letting me join you tonight. And I hope some people take it upon themselves to become experts in this and to try to make a difference in this area, because this is really one of the most important subjects, as Shane and others will know, in terms of preserving life for the future. So thanks so much, Jeff. You have a great evening.
Thank you, Eric, very much. Okay, excellent. Just excellent. All right, we'll be right back with more after this.